Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
We've been telling you about the benefits of fitbod.me/PPV for quite a while now, but there's so much more. 150,000 five-star reviews, over 5 million downloads, 400 million workouts logged. A lot of people have tried out FitBod, and now you can too. You can get 25% off at fitbod.me/PPV. All of your subscriptions give you full access to their premium features. You need to stop guessing and start working. They have daily workouts that generate your workout of the day based on your muscle freshness, preferred muscle group, and things that you want to target. There's equipment selection, so maybe one day you have bands, maybe one day you don't. Maybe you have weights one day, maybe the next you don't. Maybe all you have is the ability to do body weight exercises. They help you out by using the equipment that you have available. There's goal and experience settings. There's muscle recovery. You can connect to your Apple Health, your Fitbit, your Strava, all that good stuff at fitbod.me/PPV. Street counters, timed intervals, circuits and supersets, and you can ask a trainer if the video demonstrations and exercise instructions are not good enough for you. fitbod.me/PPV. That's fitbod.me/PPV. What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is now May 27th, 2024. As we go live, it is about 12:45 a.m. My God, it is a late one. There is a lot to talk about, a lot to get into here on the Fightful post show. I'm going to sit here and make sure that we go live on X as well. We are live on Twitter. We want to be as interactive as possible with you guys. You're not going to get more backstage or exclusive news on any wrestling post show than this one. We got news on MJF. We got news on everything. What don't we have news on? FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. We had a big scoops thread. We had an exclusive on MJF's return. We had news on Gangrel, Juice Robinson, just an incredible amount of stuff. And it's easy to have a lot of scoops when you've got a show that runs 5.5 hours long. Now, I posted on Twitter. It flew by for me. For me, guy who spent 10 years of his life covering 10 or like 8 hour UFC shows, flew by for me. Didn't fly by for everybody. I enjoyed the show an awful lot. I do not think they need to be this long, but you know what? We're here, by God. We're going to give you our live post show. We got another one over on FightfulSelect.com as well. Please subscribe. It's the best $5 in the business. It's what every other show uses for their basis of news. Please support us, all that good stuff. But hey, if you don't want to drop down the five bones, leave us a thumbs up. Leave us a comment. Let me see some bananas in the chat right now. I want to see banana emojis in the chat or other various fruits. I like fruits. Okay. Let's get some of those in the chat and in the comments. I'm over there interacting with you guys. I was in the Fightful Select Discord hanging out today, dropping some little scoop skis here and there. You can also get your question or statement read on the air here on Fightful. We will be having, a lot of the scrum notes here. Anything pertinent that happens there while we're on the air, our great moderator, Luis, is going to probably just pay attention to Trevor Dame's Twitter because he's the best at covering those to the point to where we don't anymore because he's better at them than everybody else. So check that out. We're going to have details on that. If you want to get a question or statement read on the air, I know that you guys are aching to stay up longer. Donate a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful or a humper chat over at humperchat.com. If you're watching on Twitter or X or Twitch or something like that, that's how you can do it. We are very much publicly funded, but we started off with Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. And listen, if you've ever watched Fightful, you know, these are probably the two people I've interviewed the most on Fightful. Deonna's definitely number one. I think I've interviewed her like 9 times. So happy to see these women featured in such a prominent spot. So I do feel a little bit bad about complaining and saying I didn't really need this to be more than like a 9-match show. I do feel like as much as I, you know, am on board with them and this, and I feel like this is a good platform, this acclaimed Cage and Agony and then the FTW match probably could have been on a big featured spot on Dynamite or Collision and probably would have taken a smooth 45 minutes off of this extended runtime, in which didn't bother me, but certainly bothered a lot of people that I saw online. So, but listen, what we've got to review is what we've got, and that's Deonna Purrazzo, Thunder Rosa. Big shout out to Thunder Rosa for the Uvalde honoring that she did, the 21 crosses on her gear and all that stuff. We're slowly starting to see Deonna Purrazzo turn heel, starting to get some jealousy and stuff as a result of her coming up short in her title efforts. But I think that's probably the best method for her, especially considering her known allegiances to Britt Baker and stuff like that on an interpersonal level. Now, I don't know when Britt Baker's coming back. Fightful Select had reported that that she was not in Las Vegas for this weekend's show. But I it's hard for me to think that they can't have something for her, right? You know what I mean? Like, she's Britt Baker. You got something. AEW slowly but surely developing, you know, contenders within this AEW women's division as well, because we had Tony and Serena in a killer match, Willow and Mercedes in what I thought was a really good match, and Chris making the turn. Then you got Deonna and Thunder Rosa on the undercard as well. That's what we need. We need some feuds that don't necessarily have the title in them. We're about to see that with Chris and Willow as well. So I like that. You need some of those undercard feuds. That way you've got people ready. That way it's not just cold and it's like, okay, well, here's your next title challenger. We also had a Charlie Ramone interview about the steel cage that I thought was really good. I mean, if you've watched the vlog stuff, you know that you know who he is, but I thought that was a nice bit of business there. Crazy 101 sends a humper chat or super chat and says, what a show. Crowd matches stories, 9.4 out of 10. Flame Inc. said this show reminded me of why I stopped watching wrestling. I hate to hear that. I enjoyed it. D'Lo Diggs says, respectfully, I will say this. I watched the NBA game most of the night due to not being able to handle 5 hours of wrestling for a pay-per-view, in my opinion. Chat, I am interested in what you guys think about the runtime. I don't want them to make 5+ hours a habit. I don't think they should be making 4+ hours a habit, especially if they're doing 10 pay-per-views a year. One of my main issues with AEW programming is that a lot of, and I mean a heavy, heavy amount of the TV matches on Rampage, Collision, Dynamite are almost foregone conclusions. Now, there are some exceptions. The Fatal 4-Way Tag Match last night with House of Black was one. Brian Keith beating Boulder last week was one. You know, there are a few. Orange Cassidy over Trent a few weeks ago was one as well. I feel like you could take some of these matches from this pay-per-view, apply them to Collision last night and to Dynamite this past week and say, no, you need to watch those. Some of these big matches are going to happen there as well. That's one thing I feel like WWE has done well. Now, I don't think AEW needs to take it down to five or even six matches like WWE has done. WWE is doing that because they're able to, and it's a method that's working exceptionally well for them right now. I think eight matches would absolutely work for AEW, eight or nine or something like that. Owen Cup winners will get title shots at All In. Well, now I know that the natural thing, people are going to go, oh, well, King of the Ring's doing that. Well, King of the Ring should have been doing that a long time ago, too. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad that the Owen Cup is doing it as well. That's an example of a story I sat on too long. Not the title shot thing. I didn't know about that, but the Owen Cup thing. I'd heard about that last week and was working to tidy up some stuff, and they announced it. So glad it's coming back. So glad it's coming back. And listen, I'm not saying Natalya is going to leave WWE or anything like that. They are in the process of negotiating a deal. By the way, happy birthday to Natalya. But man, it would be kind of cool to see her in the Owen Cup. I think that'd be pretty neat. I think she'll probably stay in WWE, but it'd be pretty cool to see that. Chat, I want to know who you think is winning the Owen Cup and challenging for the world title at All In, because right now, Will Ospreay is international champion, which we're going to be talking about very shortly. Any news when on it or if Camille will debut? Well, I knew it wasn't going to be tonight because she dropped a little hint at it. And listen, we know that when they're dropping the hints like that, that they are not coming, right? We know better. We know better. She's been signed a while. I don't know what they plan on doing with her, but the Megan Bain stuff. So let's talk about that Fightful Select report. We reported last night, it looks like she's still with AEW. There have been creative pitches. However, today I had heard, yeah, there have been creative pitches as recently as a few weeks ago, but that's not a foregone conclusion yet. And there might be some outside interest in her. And I'm going to have some more on Megan Bain as well and AEW's feelings on how that worked out or how it is working out. Some Stupid Punk says, I loved it. Didn't feel long at all. Why complain? Listen, I don't mind if people complain about that at all. You're almost everybody, I would imagine, as an adult watching this, if they feel that it was an ample amount of time, good for them. If they feel like it was too long, good for them. I'm not going to scream and call you an idiot for believing one thing or another, but tonight, I didn't feel like it was too long. I enjoyed it. I didn't yawn once. I didn't have trouble with that at all. If this were another night, maybe if this were last night, maybe it was tomorrow, maybe I'd feel a little bit different. Arduit says, it shouldn't be a habit all the time, but I'm okay with it being a holiday weekend, I think. Understandable. Definitely understandable there. Toby says, Bleacher Report is awful. Missed like half the show. AEW shouldn't work with them anymore. Well, my friend, I use Triller. I use Fight. I use Triller. And not only that, I use Nord with Triller. I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it. But I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet, global server network, all that good stuff. That's great. But a big, big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy, all the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network, maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help using it, they got that 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Truly love Nord. Bails me out big time. Alexander Fitzgerald says, great show. Long but great show. Wish the pay-per-view was a bit shorter so we could appreciate the bigger moments. This year's Double or Nothing was better than last year's. I agree with that. Yeah, listen, like, if the show was 45 minutes shorter, I would have enjoyed it more. But it, to me tonight, it didn't get to the point where I was like, man, I'm dreading this. Now, I ain't got to get up in a number that ends with AM tomorrow if I don't want to. So that could be categorically different considering what you might be doing tomorrow. You know what I mean? And I was so amped up on caffeine that nowhere near it, my friends. Acclaimed. And Daddy Ass defeated the Cage of Agony. I feel like after the turn, Cage of Agony could have really used a win here. Because, like, what are the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass going to be challenging for the Trios titles anytime soon? I'm going to guess, hope, pray at night to Jesus Lord that won't be happening. I like the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass just fine, but I don't need to see that again. I'm ready for that to be done and gone. Cage of Agony, I would have really liked to have seen them start a little bit of something, especially after that turn. There was a fan that was not having the scissoring thing, dropped an envelope in, I think it was Anthony Bowen's scissors. The Las Vegas Knights mascot gets involved. I just need the Cage of Agony getting wins here. Just need that happening. It happened. There's no reason this show needed to be on the buy-in. Not a single one. If this was on Collision, I would have been like, yeah, fine. Rampage, sure. I'm happy for the individuals. Don't get me wrong. Lots of great fellas there. But absolutely did not need to be on the buy-in. Not necessary at all. Sir Brendo, hope you're doing well, Sir Brendo. Says, hope everyone is safe with the storms. I hear the rain right behind me. I hear it. Hopefully my power stays on. We kicked off the show. Will Ospreay defeated Roderick Strong to become the international champion. So in my predictions, I said that not only do I think Will Ospreay is going to win, I think they're going to try to level up the title again. You know how it started off with the All-Atlantic title and they leveled it up to the international title? I wouldn't doubt that eventually down the line, this could become the international world championship, sort of like what Rick Rude held in WCW when the big gold belt came back and they made it that or whatever the hell they did. I think they're going to do everything they can to make it seem on an even plane or half a step behind. Because I don't think Will Ospreay is challenging for the world title at All In. As of this moment, I don't think he is. Vicky says, hi, Sean, sending you this for Ospreay. As you recall, I'd give you 5 for Sting and double it when he won. Here's 5 for Will. 5 for the win. Man, we got a win bonus for Vicky's favorites. I love it. Aside from Jericho, great show. Thank you, SRS and mods. Well, thank you. And thank you to everybody that's here. We always love hearing from you, Vicky. Hope you're feeling okay. Anthony Velazquez said, can't remember the last time a wrestler has gained my respect the way that Will Ospreay has. Didn't know much about him before AEW, but he's one of my favorites now. And I mean, that's something I had a good feeling would translate to United States wrestling TV. Not only that, but he's causing everybody's in-ring level to go up because he is a cut above so many others. And there's nothing wrong with Will Ospreay being a cut above everybody else. And that's not to minimize anybody else. Will Ospreay is just really, really great. He can cut a great promo. He's very passionate. He's got in-ring charisma. He can tell great stories. He can sell his ass off. He can do things that nobody else can do. And he's a phenomenal wrestler. Just phenomenal. There's a spot in this match that was not phenomenal.
It was downright horrifying. The doomsday suicide dive on the outside. There were like 83 things that went wrong with this. The idea, the execution, the way that it went, ended up getting missed, was not a good spot. Was not good. And listen, if you're in a match with Will Ospreay and you got people as talented as Bennett and Taven, well, you're going to go for ambitious spots like that, right? This one didn't hit. It looked rough. It looked bad. They started off hot in this match. They did a spot where Wardlow like almost, it was such like a 9-to-5 interference. You know what I mean? Like Wardlow clocked in, and then when he got caught, he clocked out. He said, yeah, I ain't even trying anymore. I'm just here because I gotta be. Just here so I can keep collecting my check, trying to keep these insurance bennies. That's all he's trying to do. He's not there to help Roderick Strong or to help out the Undisputed Kingdom. I feel like he's been over this shit for a while. You know what I mean? He's there. I tried. You all saw me. It's like, you know, when you go out and you're you're a little bit of an introvert and you go out, you're seen, you go back home. It's like, you're witnesses. You all saw me out. I came out to this pre-Thanksgiving gathering. There you go. That was Wardlow tonight. He made his public appearance and then he hit the bricks. Silver says, has it been said before that a title can change on DQ and count out? Notice the refs say Roddy would lose the title if Wardlow didn't leave the ring. Chat, I don't remember this. Luis, if you happen to see anybody in the chat bring up an instance, let me know, because I don't remember that at all. I don't remember. And I mean, maybe I was a little focused on something else. Didn't even notice that specific part, but I don't remember another time. There have been special circumstances, but I'll see if the chat happens to know there as well. As Victor Bontino says, for the work rate journalist of professional wrestling, man, I worked a 30-minute horrible match a few weeks ago. So that right here in the fields. And I'm back full time now. This is my first week doing a full slate of shows since my grandmother passed. So it's been wonderful to be back. It's been a great wrestling week. It's been a great wrestling weekend as well. Bryce did shout that to Roddy, according to Luis, by the way. So before this match, Will Ospreay came over, fist bumped Callis. I think you kind of see the writing on the wall there. What I don't want is a long-term Callis and Ospreay feud. There's a lot of Callis on this show, which we will get back to. But Callis is like trying to get Will Ospreay to unretire the Tiger Driver 91. Now, for those of you who don't know, Will Ospreay retired that move because he almost ended the career of Bryan Danielson in kayfabe. We had reported on FightfulSelect.com that he was fine. And of course he was fine. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. But Ospreay teased it and then he decided against it. And this really plays off of the Roderick Strong neck injury type of thing as well. So I liked that. That was pretty good because even some people were like, oh, damn. I loved the flip out of the end of Heartache, landing on his feet, going into the Hidden Blade and his finish. It's like Will Ospreay has had, you know, I'm not a big Os Cutter guy. Don't like that. But he's got like 3 or 4 finishes that are just really, really good. And now the Tiger Driver is 91 is like a special finish. Like if Randy Orton ever busts the punt out again, which I got to believe he's going to do at some point, that's sort of his Tiger Driver 91 now. Really dig that. Ospreay's international champion. Golden. It's going to be great for that title. Listen, you got a lot of top guys. You got Moxley, who's got the IWGP championship and all that. But you've got a lot of top guys. And even though you're missing some, you got some back tonight. But you got to level up some of these championships, especially when you got 50 of them. I think they've got too many belts. I don't need an individual continental championship belt and all that stuff. Too many titles for sure. Jacob says it's the rules with the matches with the belt, interference and countouts, etc. change the titles. Thank you, Jacob. Friend DNC Digital says, maybe wrong, but has AEW ever had a multi-pay-per-view world championship feud? Is the reason why, or am I just too used to seeing that over the years? Multi-pay-per-view world championship feud. Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. I'm not encyclopedic here, but I'm pretty sure they have. Pretty sure they have. And I know that somebody will remind me. I believe so. Oh, man. So, immediately after this match, Adam Cole comes out. A welcome sight. And he says, it's time for story time with Adam Cole. He brings up the devil. And it happens. We get this video going down a hall. We see MJF memorabilia and a ripped picture of Adam Cole and MJF. So, MJF comes out. He's got this new look, sort of his, somebody's called it his Triple H look. Hit number one for me right there. He goes in, faces off with Adam Cole. Adam Cole hugs him, kicks him in the balls. Hit number two. He hits Adam Cole with a brain buster, you know, not dropping him on his feet, anything like that. Then he cuts a promo, and boy, does he cut a promo. He looks great. He's jacked. He's not wearing the same stuff. There was this orchestral version of his theme, which is really good as well. DeLeo asks an important question. Says, a bit confused on the MJF return. Feels like they just buried Adam Cole story and aren't going to do a feud between them. So, educated hunch here. I had heard recently that Adam Cole was not anywhere near returning. So they can't do much. Do you want him feuding with Wardlow, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, and Roderick Strong? Answer me that. If the answer is yes, well, okay, there's some meat left on the bone here. He should absolutely be getting his on them. For sure should. And Samoa Joe and some other people. However, as of right now, I don't think there's going to be able to be a culmination to the Adam Cole MJF related stuff for quite some time. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully that's not accurate. If you have any questions, drop the super chats, drop the humper chats, because we got a lot of info on this. MJF had sort of abandoned the bidding war of 2024 thing a while back. Like, we knew, right? WWE made it clear, as they should, to a number of media, we ain't talking to him because he's got a deal. Fightful Select reported, best $5 in the business. He is signed long-term, as if the tattoo that he showed off that says bet on yourself isn't enough. He is one of the highest paid wrestlers in AEW. It's a multi-million dollar contract. To the best of my knowledge, a new agreement was reached at some point after the Double or Nothing fiasco a couple years ago. Now, I don't know if that was an extension of his deal or if they tore up his old deal and did a new one. Because listen, if they tore up his deal and did a new one and it was a 3-year deal, you never know how long his deal is. I'll try to find out. Pat says, can we expect another MJF SRS interview soon? I hope so. Listen, he and I have a very interesting rapport because it's his job to lie to me and keep secrets from me. It's my job to figure things out. This week, I figured some stuff out. He had told me he wasn't returning. I said, bullshit. Bullshit. And FightfulSelect.com reported that he was imminently returning. And tonight on the Scoops thread, we reported that he was coming back soon. Now, if the creative plans that I've heard floated backstage among talent are right, boy, he is in for quite the summer. Now, there are multiple plans that I heard some talent talking about, but I don't want to speak on those yet, but I will give y'all a little tease, a little teasy teaser. Seems like fun. Oh, I'm told the Young Bucks are running the scrum. That's fantastic. So there's a great line where MJF talks about how New Japan didn't make him and Vince McMahon didn't make him. MJF made MJF. And then he held up the mask and it was kind of funny. It contradicted a little bit here. He held up the mask and he said, "This represents so many terrible things from me, my career, et cetera." Now, that angle was over live, but I get it. And once it got so far, people were done with it, over with it, and they don't want to revisit it. And I think it's, first off, amazing that he's like, no more of this goofy bullshit, no more kangaroo kick, et cetera. No more haha. But then he does an elbow drop to the mask. Listen, I'll give him some flexibility there, right? I loved everything about this. His new look, the new approach. He ain't falling for that shit. He said he wants to hate. Throw in the goofy stuff out the window. He's got no reason to be a babyface now. Now, like, I understand people are like, they're happy he's there right now and all that. I think we're just going to see him be a heel that probably gets cheered for a while. And the reason I think that is, like, from a motivational standpoint with MJF, the only reason he was a babyface is because Adam Cole was changing him and he sort of faked it until he made it with the babyface thing. He pretended to be a babyface until he became one. Well, then what happened? He got screwed over. So he was shown in that moment, you ain't got to trust anybody. You don't need to trust anybody. Lying, cheating, stealing got you everything that you've got. So here you go. So what I heard was, oh man, I can't believe I'm about to talk about this. What I heard the other day was MJF was going to be flown into Phoenix and then driven. I don't do airport hookups, all that stuff. I don't do that. I don't do check on people's flights. It came full circle. Somebody showed me the itinerary. Not in the company. Just somebody completely disconnected from it. And I said, respectfully, first off, I would never report on that type of thing again, but I ain't going down the plane ticket route again. That's for damn sure. We're not doing that. We're not pulling one of those. Miguel says, Baby Goat returning with the 2002 Triple H jacket look is great, including his promo. Glad he's back. You know, I've long thought that he should have ditched the Burberry and done something a little bit different. Maybe had some nods and stuff, but he did the Burberry thing for, gosh, 6-7 years, right? So like with anybody else, you adapt. By the way, Fightful had heard he was trying to throw people off his scent with the shoulder surgery thing. Heard that a couple weeks ago. And that's what led to me sort of finding out that he was coming back. I had heard they were making some moves regarding like music and a lot of stuff like that. But there were people that were telling me like, oh yeah, he doesn't need the shoulder sling and all that stuff. Like Renee and Barry Bloom are asking questions to the Bucks at the presser. What is going on? Literally.
What?
Matt?
Everything? What is going on? What is going on?
What's going on, Joe Schmo? I loved the MJF return. Loved it. AEW and WWE have both been missing out on big stars. Right now in WWE, there is no Rock. There is no Roman Reigns. John Cena's on his break, you know. Charlotte sidelined. Becky might be about to leave. We don't know. Seth Rollins has been out. Drew was slightly out. Punk has been out. In AEW, you had MJF, Adam Cole, Kenny Omega, Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, a ton of people missing. Need big stars back. MJF is a big star. Love to hear what you guys think about MJF's return. RJ says, fantastic weekend of wrestling. It was a brilliant weekend of wrestling. I loved it. Bang Bang Gang versus Death Triangle. FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. Juice Robinson's back. We'd reported that he was in Las Vegas for the show. Death Triangle, man, like they just never gotten that big, big push. Now, I understand that some of it is injuries and Pac, you know, going back and forth. It's just a bummer because I would love to see them as trios champions. I really would. I will say that immediately upon Juice Robinson returning, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I can handle the Bang Bang Gang being trios champions. Now, I have been asking about the Bullet Club Gold name and all that stuff. We're going to work on something hopefully for this week on that. But Juice Robinson helped them get the win. It was fine. This is one where I feel like they could have done on another. They could have done it on Dynamite or Collision. However, you would have had a lot of people saying, yeah, you know what? You got to have Jay White on the pay-per-view. I don't think you have to have all your big stars on pay-per-view. I mean, WWE doesn't have to, but they're also a drawing machine right now. So, fair. Decent match. On this show, it won't stick out the way that a lot of other things did. I want to see something substantial for Death Triangle. I would have loved to have seen a run like that. But, I mean, man, we're talking about 5 years ago. Pac was going to be one of the guys that was in the top title picture, if you guys remember. When that first presser happened, it was Pac and Hangman Page that came out and said, you know what? I want to be the world champion. Irene says, awesome MJF return. Of course, he killed it on the mic. Smart heel tweener character so far. I saw Wolverine in the jacket look more than Triple H. Yeah, fair. He and Brian Cage might have words over that. Swolverine. But I loved it. I loved that he looked different. He said he was going to do things different. I think that he should drop almost everything he did before and show people how he can adapt. And we're talking about a 27-year-old who has already been to the mountaintop, already had match of the year contenders, already had a year plus title reign, knows how to stay in the news. Man, this guy is... You know, there are sometimes I'm like, okay, well, has he peaked? And then I see this and I go, no, he hasn't peaked. Woo, Toni Storm defeated Serena Deeb. Tim says, could we see Mina versus Toni at Forbidden Door? Yes, we could. Rocky Romero told FightfulSelect.com in our recent interview, please subscribe, $5 a month, that Stardom would definitely be involved and that CMLL likely would be involved in Forbidden Door. Crowd loved Toni, man, and they adjusted accordingly. They really did. Serena worked the leg. I absolutely got sold on the finish in this match with Serena. And Fluffy Panda says, totally bought a Deeb win. Who do you pick next for Toni? We'll get into that momentarily, but with the totally bought the Deeb win, I'm with you. The leg was worked over. They did this spot on the outside that really brilliantly set this up. Mariah May almost threw in the towel for Toni, and you look at it and you go, is it genuine concern or is it her being vindictive over Toni doing the same thing? And Luther was like, no, you're not doing that. She wouldn't want you to do that, so you're not gonna. Toni catches Luther and blames it on him, and it leads to this spot where... I can't remember the name of Serena's move. It's sort of like the neutralizer, the gotch style neutralizer on the apron and then back in the ring. And I love the move. It's a phenomenal move. I bought it. I go, oh my God, they're going to go to this and you're going to have Deonna and Thunder Rosa feuding without a title. Willow and Chris without a title. You're going to have Toni and Mariah without a title as well. But then Tony kicks out, and man, Tony is over AF right now. That finish on the apron sold me. Tony hits a second rope pile driver that is absolutely filthy, bro. Filthy. My only complaint, I wish Tony would have sold the leg more that got worked over so, so much during that period. Really wish she would have sold the leg more there and going up the ramp. But other than that, I thought it was a killer match. Tony winning is probably the right thing. I don't want Serena to just, disappear now, though. Serena should be booked appropriately. It's just in this situation, well, what's next? You going to go after Mercedes after losing to Tony? Probably not. You going to go after Athena on ROH? It could be an option. I mean, listen, I'd be all about Serena and Athena. Perhaps a big Forbidden Door match. Serena against some good Joshi talent, something I could get behind for sure. So who's next for Tony? Can't be Deonna again, right? Who's been winning matches? I wouldn't mind. Can't go straight to Mariah May. Oh, probably it's going to be a Stardom talent. It'll be a Stardom talent. That's who it'll be. Because they'll do Forbidden Door there. And we got somebody saying you could see Mina. I would really like, well, I think Mina is the right one. Because then you can play off of Mariah May, and where does her allegiance lie there? Orange Cassidy defeated Trent Beretta. This was the only one on our Bet Online AG odds that an underdog won. And when somebody asked me for my underdog pick on this card, I looked up and down it and I said, I think the favorites all win. Bet Online, by the way, we'll tell you more about that after this match. So this will be the featured match to promote that. Underdog gets the win. I can't believe Orange Cassidy beat Trent Beretta again, but I was made of questions after this. They played up this in a great video that Chuck Taylor retired. He is working as a producer, as FightfulSelect.com reported recently. MJF wasn't the only one with Triple H gear. You got Trent with the 1998 Triple H gear. With the colors on the inside. I don't know if he's worn those before. Don't give a damn, but that's exactly what it reminded me of. He also got the new theme, too, by Mikey Ruckus, FightfulSelect.com reported. And it's got the human beatbox, and then instead of best friend, it says best Trent. Well, let me tell you what I'm happy about, friends. Orange Cassidy comes out to Jeff, or he doesn't come out. Jefferson Starship hits. For those of you that aren't clued in, Orange Cassidy's character is based off of Wet Hot American Summer and the character that Paul Rudd played on it. If you haven't watched that show, unbelievable show, hilarious show, one of the most ridiculous, stupid shows ever, and Paul Rudd is amazing in it. And that was the opening theme of that show. Then Where Is My Mind hits, and it's such a better song. It's a better song. It's a better theme. So from what I understand, back in the day, AEW was like, hell yeah, let's get Jefferson Starship. And they quoted them a price that was way too high. And that's saying something, because Tony Khan has paid an awful lot of money, paid into the millions for the variety of songs that he's licensed, as would be referenced later in the night. After the success of Where Is My Mind as Orange Cassidy's theme, Jefferson Starship came back and they're like, we'll come back down to earth a little bit on this because we would like to see some of that. Because listen, are they getting paid like Rancid for the Ruby Soho theme? Of course they're getting paid an insane amount of money for it, but they're opening themselves up to a brand new audience. Now, these artists should not be giving it away for exposure, but like you are opening yourself up to millions of people who did not know who the Pixies were and might have been familiar with Jefferson Starship, but probably weren't hip to that song too much. So I'm glad the Pixies are back. All for that. there was a disgusting cradle pile driver on the apron. But the thing that was most interesting about this match wasn't in the match. The match happened. It was there. Wasn't like a top five match on the show. No offense. But I'm fascinated with what happened afterwards because OC won. And I'm going to look into it. But the end was Trent walking away and he's like, I'm not doing this. And I don't know what this is about. They made a new theme for Trent. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, the 5-year AEW deals, could they be up right now? Is he going somewhere? Surely this has got to lead to something. Can't believe they would let him go, so to speak, but I'm fascinated by this. The match left a lot to be desired. It really did. But the post-match, post-match had me really interested. Anthony says, holy hell, that pay-per-view was something else. Outside of the OC Trent match, all the right people won. Well, I wanted Trent to win, but I also want to see what happens here. Don Callis also said that he's going to offer a contract to the Don Callis family on Dynamite, indicated it was to Orange Cassidy. Hopefully it's Trent, because Trent needs that. But Nulak City says, hey, SRS, show could have cut OC Trent or put it somewhere on the pre-show. FTW match 2 would have helped shave some time. Last four matches really gave me a second wing, though, especially that insane anarchy match. Love the show. Yeah, it definitely gave me a pick-me-up. These three matches that we're about to talk about, that's what had me like going, could have cut some stuff. Could have cut some stuff for sure. So again, OC and Cassidy, or OC and Trent, I'm like, okay. Match. But the aftermath, good. So I want to talk about something that Luis just put in our document. Mercedes has asked if there's anyone, actually no, regarding not debuting earlier, Mercedes says Tony told her she was debuting on Friday after Big Business and asked her if she could wait for Double or Nothing in the ring. Mercedes said, bitch, I'm patient. Says fairly in character here. Some great Tony facial expressions you're missing. So, not calling the woman a liar, but I'll tell you what I heard. Back when I got news from WWE that she wasn't signing there, they said she wouldn't be cleared for quite a while anyway, wouldn't be ready for the Rumble. New Japan was very, very upset that there were reports that they had planned her for Battle in the Valley and they didn't work out because they said, no, we didn't plan her for Battle in the Valley. We didn't plan her for the Wrestle Kingdom show because she wasn't cleared and we could not have used her. I was told in March February or March when we reported the Mercedes news that they knew she wouldn't be able to wrestle till April or May. And they had been.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Planning on it to be double or nothing. FightfulSelect.com reported that. FTW championship match. Okay. Let's talk about the good. The dice were funny. I will say this, as a fan of ECW, this was certainly in the spirit of ECW, the TNN era. There were some very scary spots in this match, and I am not a pearl clutcher when it comes to safety in wrestling. The double back suplex on Chris Jericho could have been really, really bad. And when Jericho rolled out, I was like, uh-oh, is he pissed? That could have been bad. There was a lot of helping each other in this match. Like, I don't like it when I see people doing spots. And for example, I'll give you an example. First off, it was when they were up on the top rope. And they were, you know, fumbling around with that. Jericho was down there like this, just waiting, making sure his arms don't get broken. I'm not a fan of, like, say Triple H is setting up somebody for the pedigree and they throw their arm up to be hooked. Or when you go to suplex somebody and they hook their own head. You know what I mean? I don't like that. Don't help your opponent do the move. Van Twinblade says, 8 out of 10 show. Only gripe I have is the Jericho one. The spot on the table was a lot to wait for. That was painful to watch. It was painful to watch when, I don't even know if that was the plan, the table didn't break. There was an audible called and Jericho wisely had himself put through the table. But you know, I was worried about Hook's neck there. I was immediately thinking, oh no. Remembering when his dad broke his neck, and I was like, oh no, hopefully that doesn't happen. And Hook's head hit Jericho's knee on that spot. It was just a bad spot. Big Bill shows up, and his spot was actually very good. The table spot with Hook was really, really great, but Big Bill almost got impaled. And listen, you can't put that on anybody. That is a freak thing. But the table legs were standing straight up, and Big Bill's body went, bam, right through there. That was scary. The camera work was really great around it, though. Camera work got down by the legs and really highlighted, yo, this dude almost got screwed up bad. Like, it almost went bad. A masked man shows up. Helps Jericho win. Unmasks, and it's Brian Keith, and he got a great reaction. I don't know how I feel about this. Initially, I went, hell yeah, something for Brian Keith. Then I went, the Jericho Vortex, in which he, you know, has a he's wised up to now. People talk about the Jericho Vortex and getting sucked into it. And what happened to 2.0? What happened to Sammy? What happened to Proud and Powerful? The Jericho Vortex. Now, it was explained, he was a hired bounty hunter by Jericho, which is good because he ain't collected many bounties of late. And he needs to be. He doesn't have like the APA physically imposing thing, but you know what? I can buy the gimmick. Don't know if I want him with Jericho long term, though. Like, you know, when The Miz got help from Bronson Reed, and we were like, oh no. Oh, no. That's how I felt about this. I was like, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. This match could have been on Dynamite. This match could have been on Dynamite, but instead, we're looking at Chris Jericho. And let me tell you, my friends, that's how you'll be looking if you use BetOnline.ag.
Hey, guys, I'm here to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best, from cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by BetOnline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
A reminder, guys, some ways you can support us besides our wonderful sponsors at BetOnline and Nord and FitBod. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Leave a comment. Share the video on social media. That helps out a lot. If you leave a nice review on audio platforms, that goes a long way. We're going to start some additional contests that everybody will be entered into if they've left us a nice review on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and the like. We are primarily a video platform, so not as many people find us on audio, but we are on all audio platforms. And you guys leaving nice reviews goes a long way. Of course, FightfulSelect.com. You get like 40 plus podcasts a month, access to our exclusive select members only Discord, hundreds of wrestling news stories a month, Q&As every single week. Man, all for $5 a month. And I know some of you might say, why would I pay $5 a month? Why would I do that for wrestling news? You're supporting a great staff. You're supporting the pursuit of good, accurate news. We would greatly appreciate it. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. Mercedes is talking about Forbidden Door, asks who she wants to face, and tells Tanahashi to find an opponent for her. Said tonight felt incredible, and thinks tonight showed people in WWE, or showed people that WWE is not the only place for wrestling. Tony Khan reflected on 5 years of AEW, said he would have advised his younger self to be prepared for something crazy happening within 8 months, like the pandemic. But he's very proud about how they handled it, called Darby the best possible replacement for Eddie Kingston tonight, and was happy with New Japan as a partner. Tanahashi also spoke as well. Osprey is up there now. He does. Osprey said he'd love to wrestle someone in New Japan, Rev Pro, MCW, CMLL. Doesn't think he's allowed to work for something in Stardom, but he would. Well, we had John Moxley defending the IWGP Championship. It's an eliminator against Takeshita. So I was asked, if you had to pick one underdog, who would it be? And I had picked Takeshita because I was like, okay, maybe that would set that up. But man, New Japan does a lot of giving in this relationship, right? And AEW picks off their talent, and that's the game. Those are the breaks. But then I thought about it, and I was like, they ain't having their IWGP World Heavyweight Champion lose on AEW TV. That'd be shocking. Now, I saw people say, well, why do this? Why do this? They do this in tournaments all the time there. The G1, you beat the champion. Guess what? You get a title shot down the line. This is hard hitting, but man, there's a lot of callous on this show. Don't know how y'all feel about that, but it was a lot of callous. He had an individual promo. He had the Takeshita match. He had the Trent match, an OC match. And then the opener with Ospreay too on commentary. This was a lot slower paced. I love a good Takeshita powerbomb. So they pretty well hinted that the interview that Takeshita did recently about AEW was sort of in character. RJ City had mentioned that on the pre-show. That was pretty interesting as well. And listen, everybody can see clear as day. Takeshita is going to be one of those guys. He is going to be what Great Muta was to NWA at the time. What I believe it was Kensuke Sasaki was to WCW at the time. You know, pretty important. in that regard as their big Japanese star that they utilize. I remember I was at in Nashville the SummerSlam weekend, and we were at the Black Label Pro show. And me and Tyler Edwards were just like, he is so very clearly like a top guy. And I thought he delivered top guy stuff. Now, this pace was a lot slower, and I think it was probably good on this show. I understand why you have Jon Moxley on this pay-per-view, because he's Jon Moxley and he puts asses in seats. From a viewer standpoint, this is one I could have been like Dynamite or Collision. However, it's Jon Moxley. You put Jon Moxley on the show. Takeshita did the Death Rider, which I thought was phenomenal. Like, this guy is just so good. So unbelievably good. It's a fine match. Moxley ends up countering the interference attempt, or actually Don Callis is trying to give Takeshita advice, like throw this chair in, and the ref keeps throwing him out. When the ref throws one out, there's another one in the ring. Jon Moxley hits the stomp. I love the ode to Seth Rollins that he's been doing for quite a while now. Hits a Death Rider for the win. So now you've got Takeshita, who is supposed to be the crown jewel of the Callis family, looking at old dude like, you just cost me the possible chance of getting an IWGP title shot. Meanwhile, you're sitting here flirting with Orange Cassidy in front of my face. I'm finally getting the focus. You're over here fist bumping Will Ospreay, who beat me. I wonder what's going on in Takeshita's head here. I wonder what's going on there. I'll tell you what's going on in my head for Adam Copeland and Malachi Black, FightfulSelect.com. We had a little bit more on Malachi Black's deal. And we reported that overtures had been made towards Gangrel. Man. So, Slayer South of Heaven theme really works for Adam Copeland. I think he used it at WrestleMania 39, right? Like, he used it last year's WrestleMania, I believe. Yeah. It's kick ass. I'm not a Slayer guy. It kicks ass. He does the Brood entrance. Give me that. So, to give you guys like a little history of my favorite wrestlers, my first favorite wrestler was Marty Jannetty. Him and Sting. Then I found Too Cold Scorpio. Hell yeah. He became Flash Funk. Wasn't a lot to cheer for there, but I still loved him. Needed a new one when he got released. I saw this fella, Edge. And then he joined the Brood. And he had the coolest entrance, coolest theme ever. He looked cool. And now he comes out to cool-ass music with a cool-ass entrance again. I dig it. Tell you what I didn't dig. That flying elbow drop off the top of the cage, because everybody saw him walking funky after this match. And when you see how he landed, he almost landed on his feet doing the elbow drop. To the point to where I feared that he just did it wrong and sort of like landed on his feet. I was like, what is he doing? Was he trying to do a splash or something like that? Ugh. I was worried, man. I'm still working to find out what I can. But it's you know, not optimal to need to worry about that. But I mean, dude's like what, 50? Dude's 50. It's a wild spot to do, man. These guys are crazy. They go to AEW and they're just like, hell, we'll do whatever. They're doing all the stuff they weren't allowed to do for a while. And he did some crazy shit in WWE. This is bloody and violent. Let me tell you a spot where these sons of bitches got me. And I mean, they got me. House of Black comes out. Buddy and Brody look at Malachi. They're siding with him. They turn around and they join Edge. And Edge looks befuddled. Malachi Black sold this phenomenally. So well. Malachi Black made me think this was actually going to happen. The fear in his eyes. He has great facial expressions. You know, a lot of times he's got to play spooky guy who is not creeped out or worried or scared about anybody. And he sold me a ticket on this. I completely bought it. Hook, line, and sinker, I fell for it. I go, what is this? Immediately I go, is he leaving? There was a WWE wrestler at the moment that that happened that sent me a message and said, is he coming back to WWE? And then said, never mind. Sold me a ticket, beautifully executed. Beautifully executed there. Well, let me tell you what else makes me happy. Freaking Gangrel, bro. I love Gangrel. Funny story about Gangrel that I've told on the show before. Besides the fact that he has told me twice that I have a good impaler, which, oh my God, be still my heart. Y'all can't tell me nothing. Gangrel is a habitual emoji sender. Emoji sender Gangrel. Keep in mind, I was a little kid when I watched Gangrel, Scary Vampire. One time I had to message him. I get some stuff, get some shit once in a while because people are like, you don't need to confirm wrestler death. We believe this person, that person. Listen, I confirm with the family or the company, that's it. Or the person themselves. In this case, people had claimed Gangrel had died. I messaged Gangrel, said, hey, you okay? There's some rumors that you've passed away. And he sent me a message back that said, only in kayfabe with a smiley emoji. Fair play. Bob Holly's another one. Well, guess what Gangrel did? Came out and delivered a couple of the best impaler DDTs you are ever going to see. How old's this man? He is, good God, man. He is 50-something. 55. 55. Still out there working. I've worked multiple shows with the guy. He's out there working the indies. He's a Black Label Pro regular. Wonderful guy to have in the locker room, too. Just such a great dude. This makes me happy. I thought he was vastly underrated for his in-ring ability for a very, very long time. Glad to see him get his flowers here. Adam Copeland ends up winning. Really loved it. Arduit says, Cope versus Malachi was fire emoji. Wish Black caught the gold, but didn't expect it. It was an amazing show. Thanks, science, that Juice and MJF are back. Yes. Listen, MJF didn't have shoulder surgery, but Lord, was he beat up. He should not have been wrestling at World's End, and he wanted to wrestle. Mr. Showtime, which was, let me tell you, speaking of Gangrel, Mr. Showtime was my go-to create a wrestler name on WWF Attitude, and the Gangrel entrance was my go-to entrance. Says they sold me a ticket on the House of Black turn. Me too, brother. Just Mass says, any word on Cope's knee? Not yet. And any situation like that, it's not going to be a I get news tonight or I get news tomorrow. They'll have to let the swelling go down. They might have a good idea. But there you go. Gabe Kidd on Twitter. By the way, I love Gabe Kidd. If you have not watched my interview with Gabe Kidd, go do that. Two of my best interviews back-to-back weeks. Gabe Kidd, Darby Allin. And I asked Gabe Kidd, hey, because he's sort of in character, what do you think about Eddie Kingston planning a match after your match? He's like, I don't give a damn about that. And I'm like, you don't want to take him out of it? And he's like, yeah, you know what? I think I will. Yikes. Alex Fitzgerald says, damn, I wanted Brody and Buddy to join Copeland, wanted the new group to be called Adam's Family. You son of a bitch. You dirty son of a bitch. Woo. Alex Fitzgerald says, is Copeland okay? The way he landed from the cage was scary. It was scary. TBD, I'm working on it. I am working on it, I promise. Bros, I badly need a cough button on this gimmick. Samuel Stahl, thank you so much for the generous super chat. I got to be real. For me and Denise both, it's been a slow super chat month. But he says, thanks for staying up and talking wrestling. Hey, there's nothing I would rather do than hang out and talk wrestling with you people. All you people. MJF, Young Bucks, and Ospreay are top three talent. What makes AEW fun is there are 50 people tied. My God, I just stuttered my ass off there. Tied for fourth place. Tony Storm, Garcia, Hobbs, Omega, FTR. Want to send a get well soon to both Hobbs and Omega. But I'm with you, Sam. Like, Tony Storm, super over. Daniel Garcia is just waiting for that moment to break out. I think Hobbs should be doing like an APA gimmick. I would love to see Hobbs and Brian Keith as the bounty hunters. That would be good. Omega, we had reported on Fightful Select's free tier. He underwent surgery last week in New York. Get well soon. And FTR, bona fide main eventers. They've proven that repeatedly. Bona fide main eventers, those guys. Mercedes and Willow. I wasn't big on the Mercedes entrance. I don't like the theme. I think it feels forced with the CEO chant. It's not for me. I look at this match and I'm like, I get questions. I was like, how would Mercedes look? How would her ankle hold up? There were some spots I was worried about it. Like when she picked up Willow for her finish, which I do not like that finish. Don't like that finish. Don't know what else she should do. Don't like that one. Chris and Stokely looked like $1 million. I did not expect to see like so much new stuff from Mercedes. Busting out straight ankle locks in the 50-50 guard. That's a hell yeah, brother, for me. Was very worried when I see Mercedes getting dropped on her neck. Like, the pounce was insane. I see Mercedes take it on her neck, and I'm like, ah, damn it. What are we doing here? Because, I mean, this quickly reminded me that she's one of my favorite workers to watch in the world. What I didn't expect was to see Mercedes go after the ankle of Willow, and that was a story that I really loved. They were both going after the same body part. And really, it seemed like Mercedes motivated her to do that. Because Willow kind of wanted to win it without that, it looked like, on the surface. Mercedes was like, I'm going to do to you what you did to me. Nasty ankle work both ways. There were some really good spots, like the powerbomb on the apron that was like our first real Mercedes sell in over a year, right? And she sold it great. She was great at it. There were a couple spots like the one-arm powerbomb and the gorilla clutch where I feel like Willow could have gotten Mercedes up for her a little bit. Like, she's got some powerhouse moves, but she didn't really, like, power her around in that sense. That being said, like, you're selling the attrition of war in that sense as well. I thought that Mercedes looked fantastic in this match. And that was, you know, you always wonder, how is somebody going to look coming back from any injury, but especially an injury like that. Now, this is completely different. I believe it was Rafaela Sunsau. And if you go back and watch the old Holy Smokes MMA shows that I did with Joe Ferraro, I was like, smaller competitors, especially like Rafaela Sunsau, you deal with a really rough ankle injury like that when moving around and footwork and flying around is very, very important to you. I always wonder, like, how that's going to affect a talent like that. And for Mercedes tonight, you couldn't have told me that she had an ankle injury prior. It's just, she didn't show that at all. I was concerned with the finish because I was like, oh my God, that, like, that's the type of thing that could lead to, you know, a stress fracture in your foot or something like that. I don't know what I would rather her finish be, but you know what? If she can get Willow up for it, I think she'd be fine with anybody else. Which, I mean, Willow is so good at getting up for people and stuff like that as well. Broadway Joe says, Do they do Becky Mercedes at Wembley or debut Becky at Wembley? Ricochet, New Day, are they coming over? Woods might have just dropped a hint on Twitter. I'm going to look into that. New Day did sign five-year deals in 2019. However, I would believe that almost all of them have injury time added. Although whatever contract Big E was on, he is working that off now because he's going overseas. He's doing panel work and all that. Becky's deal is up very soon. If I'm AEW, I 100% try to get Becky, and I try to do Becky Mercedes at All In. You try to, if you've got any possibility, any real chance, you go for it. You try to do it. I don't know if it's possible. Don't know if it's likely. A lot of people will be like, well, there's no way. Listen, man, you do not know their motivations. Don't know their motivations. Pat says, Mercedes versus Willow is my favorite match of the night. Do you think Eddie Kingston can get the top title after he comes back? Much love. Get some Helix sleep. Well, we're probably not talking about Eddie coming back until next year's Double or Nothing, unfortunately. He's going to have to undergo surgery, like pretty significant surgery, and won't be able to do that until like July. Because you got to wait for all the swelling to go down and all that stuff and make sure they can get in there around it. So I think he'll be like the Cinderella story champion, right? And maybe not hold it that long, but he'll be like the Cinderella story champion. I thought Mercedes and Willow was very good. And then I loved what happened afterwards. Now we have Mercedes in the fold. We've got Chris Statlander and Willow splitting. Stokely berates Willow. And Chris pushes him down. And she helps Willow out and then brutally attacks her. Another good swerve. I mean, I have the feeling that the Chris thing was coming, right? But I didn't think it was happening that quickly. So I was very, very happy to see this because what I don't need to see a bunch of rematches and all that stuff. I need to see Chris Statlander go directly into the Willow feud. I need to see Willow directly go into that feud. Something with emotion, something with passion, something with a reason. We've got something to fight for that isn't the title that can later have title implications, whether it be this one or the world title. That's what I feel like AEW needs to do more of. Now, they've done that with the Outcasts, or they were going that route with the Outcasts, and then Ruby Soho got pregnant. Congratulations. But, I'm excited for this. And Stokely Hathaway's facial expressions were so good, and they always are. He's such a talented guy. But I'm really excited to see Stokely as a heel managing a heel Chris Statlander. All here for it. Mr. Showtime says, I think we talked about this before. That's how I got my name from my creator wrestler. Always used Jericho's entrance. I love that. He had a good one. He had a good one on there. Mr. Showtime says, Mercedes and Bucks theme sound similar to me. The Bucks theme was a playoff of the Succession theme, which so was Roman Reigns' as well. I think they actually changed it around a little bit to make it not sound so much like Roman Reigns'. But I think Mercedes did her own. Oh. Swerve was asked about an update on his new shoes. He says they're coming soon. Working on trademarks, wanted to make sure they're proper. Swerve asked about Floyd Mayweather in the front row and doing a lot of media promoting AEW, opening up doors. He says he's been asked about that. He says that Floyd has been a friend for a while, gets a free pass to AEW whenever they come around. They've been talking to Floyd about doing a Vegas show for years, and Floyd said, I'm in after tonight, whatever that means. Listen, I didn't even see that Floyd Mayweather was there. I missed that completely. Completely. Well, listen, if I'm not even doing a transition. Here's some Blue Chew for your penis.
You know, Fightful and Blue Chew have been at it a long time. Maybe you've been at it a long time. Maybe you're lacking that motivation. Maybe you're lacking that confidence. You don't think you have what you once had. Blue Chew is here to get you there. BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. You'll get your first shipment free of what? Well, it's a chewable tablet that has the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so it gets your performance ready to go. It's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door. You do an online consultation, and if approved, you'll be back to that main event level performance. Sometimes it's not even about performance. It's about that confidence. And Blue Chew is going to make sure that you have that. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. What is there to lose? BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
AEW World Championship match. There was a wonderful Swerve Warriors intro. They always go all out for Swerve. They make him feel like a big star, and you ain't got to work that hard to make Swerve Strickland feel like a big star. But how about Prince freaking Nana, man? Guy who was like largely out of the wrestling business for a while, came back, and a lot of people were like, really, Prince Nana? And look at him now. Indispensable. So good. Such a valuable part of this act. Everybody loves him. Was, I think, a major part of Swerve being able to be over as a babyface was that Nana is so endearing. Well, he gets ejected pretty quickly because they played some games with him. There's ref you suck chance there. Luchasaurus ends up flubbing and getting Christian, but all of his posse get ejected. Mama Wayne, who I'm pretty sure is there because Nick Wayne can't check into hotels. I respect it. Get paid. And Nick Wayne ends up coming back. And then Nana comes out to help out Swerve. So there's this spot after everybody else is sort of eliminated from the equation. Well, I think it's actually before the Nana and Nick Wayne stuff. There's this beautiful shot of the stairs. And they're jockeying for position to be able to slam each other on these stairs, right? And Christian's trying to do the powerbomb off the ground from the apron. And Swerve just jumps up and does like the biggest Super Mario Brothers, I'm smashing a mushroom on your ass, stomp possible. Just a beauty. A beauty. Then there was one on the table. Now, I immediately want Swerve to face somebody tip, 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 top. And I get it. Right now, a lot of people are tied up. But whether it be Danielson, even Ospreay, Moxley, somebody like that. But Christian always delivers in this spot. We had no doubt that he was going to, that Swerve was going to win this match. None at all. But the story, the way they played into it, and that he was the elite's pick, thought that worked out pretty well. And Swerve makes everything very good. And let me tell you what I really love. I think he's like made the house call his finish. And just every time I would see that kick, I was like, that's one of the best kicks I've ever seen in my life. I don't see anybody that does a kick like that. So why not make it his finish? He won his match over Nick Wayne with that. Then there was this beautiful finish where they duck a few spots. And Christian goes for the spear. Swerve hits him with the house call, does the stomp, then does the house call again. He like did the triple headshot to old Christian, got the win. Pretty like straightforward, clean win. It had the shenanigans and stuff, of course, but Swerve gets the win. You know what's coming here. I want a big Forbidden Door match. Big, as big as possible. The biggest possible New Japan opponent. Don't put Tanahashi against him. Don't do it. Don't do it. Tony Khan has asked the presser if they've considered adding a women's or tag trios division. Says that he's open to it, thinks the women's division is the deepest they've been. He spent some time building it back due to injuries. He's going to get some more depth back as people recover. Even brought up he's interested in the division or a mixed division. Huh. It would set AEW apart. Luis wants Swerve and Shingo. I do too. Tony is asked if MJF signed or did a contract extension. Come on. He's there. He re-signed a long time ago. He won't ever tell. I mean, he might tell people now when he re-signed, but I don't know. Toni Storm read a passage from her new book that needed a publisher, apparently. It was very vulgar. Go figure. Ospreay's asked if he'll be in the Owen this year. Said that if there's a chance for the world title, he'll be putting his name in that race. We are heading down the home stretch, my friends. A crisp hour and a half show tonight after a good 5.5 hours. We are past 2 a.m. Eastern live, and I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you all so much. A reminder, we got constant talk going on our Fightful Select Discord. We greatly appreciate if you guys would join us there. Whew. Anarchy in the Arena. Team Elite defeat Team AEW, and I believe it's the right call. So, Darby is out there with a face mask. Why is that? Well, I did an interview with him this past week. And he's like, yep, got cleared the day before. Called Tony the day before I was announced. Had to go to my foot doctor, or call the foot doctor, call my nose doctor, and get cleared. And they did it. And fortunately, he's alive. Now, the start of this match was so cool. The Young Bucks call for their new theme music to be played. And Bryan Danielson grabs the mic and he's like, no, play the greatest entrance theme of all time. And they start playing Final Countdown. And it is one of the coolest moments you will see. Like I know many of you are too young to remember when New Jack was in ECW and they play Natural Born Killers throughout his entire match. It was an experience. This was an experience. This was the first thing on the show that made me go, wish I was there for that. It was so good. And the action that you saw there, and you would see fans up on the concourse and in the concession area singing along as Dax is whooping somebody's ass with a trash can, or Darby's doing a coffin drop off of something. Such a cool sight. And like I said, this show, long in the tooth, but when you got stuff like this going on past midnight, man, it had me going. And the way they stopped the song was perfect. Matt Jackson got on the mic and he said, God damn it, stop it. This costs us $200,000 every time that we play it. So they cut it off. Speed Punk says, Sean, I don't go to bed until 4 a.m. because video games. Hey, I'm with you, my man. I'm up late most nights anyway. I'm usually up till about 2:33. So there's a scapegoat van that just basically it's used to eliminate Darby and Jack Perry. And I thought this was really brilliant how they set this up where Darby was chasing Jack Perry out. There's a swanton through a table, all this stuff to set it up. Jenny Wheeler says they screw up the camera angle by showing the Bucks setting up the fire extinguishers before Darby appeared with the flamethrowers. Probably, but considering the nature of safety, I'm good with that. So they grab Tony Khan, and Drake says any word on Tony Khan is okay. The way he was thrown and rolled down the ramp. Good God. He scampered off hilariously. He's truly a really nice guy, but he scampered away in the way that you would want somebody in his position to scamper away. That's what you'd want. That is absolutely what you'd want to see. But Jack Perry comes running out and he's got like flame gel all over him. When I saw him soaked, I went, oh boy. Because my whole thing was, you bring a flamethrower to Dynamite, you've got to have something. But what I thought they would do is like a cutaway. I thought we would see like some sort of pre-tape where they had like a stuntman or two and, you know, somebody was set on fire backstage and they ran off and you would just see the curly haired wig, right? That's what I thought. No. Darby Allin set this sumbitch on fire right there on the damn stage. On the stage. Set him on fire. That's one of the most unreal things I've ever seen in pro wrestling. And the Young Bucks immediately fire extinguish him, which you do. I feel like they did this in a very safe manner. Of course, there will always be the pearl clutching on the, it's too dangerous, man. Listen, Jack Perry's probably got some Hollywood connections, you think? Probably knows how to talk to people who have done this type of thing safely. I think we can all agree on that, right? What an insane spot. Can't believe it happened like that. Like occasionally you would see Kane set on fire or like the, you know, the MVP spot and all that. But usually like the Inferno match would result in, oh my God, the hand is on fire. The MVP one was surprising. This one, couldn't believe it. There's also the exploding chair, too. So, hear me out. After I talked about pearl clutching for violent spots, listen, call me a wuss, sure. When it comes to the Rainmaker with the sleeve with the thumbtacks on it, or the shoes with thumbtacks in them, I don't need those to be real thumbtacks. If they did rubber thumbtacks, I would not know any better. You know what I mean? If Okada is doing that with rubber thumbtacks, I don't know the difference. What, we got to see him like painted up. Y'all couldn't see me pointing at myself with the little spikes. If that were me, I'd be like, hey, let's do some rubber tacks, brother. Don't want to take that to the chest. But hey, respect to them. The Reebok tie-in was pretty good. I had people asking me if I was going to get those. I've got 4 or 5 pair of Reebok pumps. I have 2 turquoise and white Shaqs. I got a black and turquoise pair of Shaqs. I've got Nerf Shaqs, and I feel like I got another pair. Don't know if I get those. Vicky says, SRS, here's another 10 for staying up late with us. Buy yourself some more caffeine. Thanks to Luis and Zach. Yes, thank you to our wonderful moderators and, of course, our writing team and our Discord mods and all that. Speedpunk says, AEW is a pro stuntman working there and Kevin Matthews, so he probably helped them out. Yeah. Shout out to Kevin Matthews for doing those job skis on TV, because it looks pretty cool when a guy like, who just beat him? Who just beat him with an arm bar last night? Somebody beat Kevin Matthews with an arm bar and it looked really, really good. And it goes a long way when they beat a guy that big. Either way, they start to tie Darby up by his ankles. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. I don't like this. It's just screams a Darby idea. And my worry was that they would just raise him way, 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 way up, and then he'd fall and die. And I don't want that to happen. Well, they didn't raise him up that high, but I was sitting there watching them, and I was like, were any of these guys Boy Scouts? Do they go camping? Do they know a proper knot? How did they prepare for this? That's what I was concerned about. I was concerned about Darby getting hung upside down more than I was anybody getting caught on fire. Well, eventually they did it, and they super kicked the shit out of him with those tacks. Woof. Jack Perry ends up getting the win. The right call. Listen, man, the more time that passes, the more I think it was a pretty good decision to run the punk footage. Listen to that thunder. Lightning was just outside my door. I have got to get the hell out of here pretty quickly. Please leave a thumbs up. The more time that passes, the more I think it was a good idea for them to air that footage. Jack Perry has taken the ball and he has ran with it. He has been the elite's like nepotism baby, and he is killing it. Killing it. Some more scrum notes. Tony talks about the WBD partnership. He thinks that they're going to have another House of the Dragon one. He puts over Koshay Erbe for pulling off the Vegas crossover elements like Showgirls and the Vegas Golden Knights mascot tonight. He thinks Double or Nothing has a different feel. Tony's asked about Adam Copeland's health after tonight. He says, and WBD, he says they're having great talks with WBD, puts over Zaslav and says he'd love to stay on them as long as they'd have him. They've been treated fantastic. On Copeland's health, they are checking him out. They're knocking on wood that he's okay. He was hoping he'd be okay sitting at the presser tonight. Hopes that is the case. Last call for Super Chats, Humper Chats. We are wrapping up. Guys, I just want to say thank you all so much for being here. It is 2:15 a.m. It is storming in lots of parts of the U.S. There was a damn 5.5-hour show, and then I went 1.5 hours. So some of you have been watching. Some of you have been watching since the pre-show started at 6, and you're going on like 8 hours plus. So I want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you to all of you who said very nice things to me upon my first week back. Thank you to all of you that subscribed to Fightful Select. It has been a down month financially in wrestling. I'm not going to lie to you. Me and Denise were talking about it. But I want to say thank you to everybody that's here. We will always be here. We love you guys. We respect you guys. And we are very proud to cultivate one of the best communities, smartest communities in pro wrestling. Thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Please share this video. Until next time, we're out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.